Well, hello there, beautiful people of the interwebs, of the smartphone technology.
Everyone, hello everyone there on the line.
Yes, it's us.
On the line.
Your favorite podcast hosts in the whole wide world.
Ashley, we have a good one today. I really like the one we have today. You want to tell them what it is?
Yeah. So about a week ago, I asked, what topics would you like for us to cover? I asked that on my IG. And I got a lot of people inquiring, a lot of questions and topics related to first-time competitors and, you know, how to get started, how to choose a coach, what's it like backstage, what to expect on stage, all that good stuff. But I thought, you know what, let's do that for them and also give some tips for those people out there that maybe have competed already.
Yeah.
Maybe they're still unfamiliar with it, but let's be honest, the sport's always changing anyway, so it's good to stay current.
That's the one thing that really separates a lot of people, is if they're keeping up with the posing, keeping up with the changes, keeping up with the line, like all these different little things. And I see that happen a lot too with like posing coaches who like maybe they're retired bikini and they're retired bikini pros or whatever. And then they're not keeping up with the current trends because they're not in the sport anymore. So they're just kind of doing it for work, whatever. They're kind of not into it anymore. And you see that all their people are posing last year, 2 years ago, you know, and it's like, what are you doing? You got to keep up if you want to be in this. So let's go into it.
Let's backtrack even a little bit further for those who are a little tot. Well, I mean, there's people that don't even know how to get started they don't even know how to choose a coach. And I think this topic is great for not only the beginners, but also just normal competitors that have competed before, and maybe you want to switch your coach. Yeah. Maybe this is going to be an eye-opening experience to see, you know, what your coach should be doing for you and how to pick a good coach. I mean, I think I picked a good coach. Maybe maybe a little biased here, but I think I got the best coach ever. His name is Adam Bowe. Team Elite Physique.
Yeah, I think that is actually, honestly, that's probably like the most critical thing. And this won't be like a self-promotion thing. There's a lot of good coaches out there. There's a good deal of them out there that are getting better now too. And, you know, one thing I always kind of pride myself on is being like cutting edge and keeping up with the latest trends, latest research. But there's a lot of guys who are doing that now. So that's, you know, you shouldn't be in a bad spot. There should be, you know, you should have a lot of options there. But I think one of the things that you really need to think about, especially with your first show, and especially if you're experienced too. And I say this a lot of times, most people stop competing, not because they fall out of love with the sport and they get tired of it. They get tired of the dieting so excessively. They get tired of not being able to do 2 hours of cardio anymore for a prep. They get tired of eating just asparagus and fish. And these are the people who write on like Instagram and they're like, oh, prep ruined my body. Prep ruined me, ruined my hormones, ruined my body. Prep sucks because you can't live a normal life. And that's where you really got to look at like who your coach is and if they're going to take it to that type of extreme where this is so, it sucks so bad that you only do it once and you look good one time. You don't learn anything. Those are the same people that are blowing up after the show because they can't sustain it. So if you can't sustain what it took for you to get the results, you can't sustain the results. That's very, very simple. So if you're doing, you know, if you're eating 800 calories a day and doing an hour of fasted cardio in the morning, and then you work out later at night after work, and then you do another hour of cardio after that, which is honestly, this sounds extreme, but this is what a lot of coaches do. When I say a lot of coaches, I want to say about 80% what I run into with girls that are like leaving a coach or whatever. And they're like, I don't know how your athletes do it. They only do one workout a day. They will do cardio for 30 minutes or so a day towards the end of prep. And they're not starving. And I'm like, well, that's why you see them. And they're not blowing up after the show. They're not putting on 20 pounds right after the show. So that's something I think that everyone needs to think about and ask your coach who you're talking to. And if you have a coach now and they're doing that to you, ask them why, because the research doesn't support that, you know? So that is, I think, the biggest, most critical stage is that when you are looking for a coach, say, ask them, hey, what is my minimum calorie intake I'll eat? What is the majority of your clients at? calorie wise. And, you know, look at their hashtag. They're going to have a hashtag. Ours is Team Elite Physique hashtag. You can even ask their clients, you know, reach out to them, you know, make sure that they're doing the right thing. I don't care. I tell everyone, hey, you're welcome to talk to them, because I feel like all my people are going to have a good experience and say very similar things. You know, coach that tells you, oh, don't talk to them. They got something to hide. You know, so like, I got nothing to hide. Everything's out there. Everyone's prep is out there. But make sure that how you set yourself up is going to be the biggest part of that, because one of the main reasons you'll even see pros quit is because their body won't respond anymore too. They just like, at first my body worked so great and now it won't respond anymore. Well, you've been dieting for every show so hard and doing so much cardio that now your body's just like, just resisting it now. And there's nothing you can do to, like, no matter what you do, unless you're doing 4 hours of cardio now, it's just not going to work anymore. And obviously no one, most people won't do that. And then they retire and they quit when they could have just had a better setup the whole time, had sustainable results, only gained, you know, 8 pounds, 7 pounds after a show. And then every prep only had to lose, you know, less than 10 pounds versus 20 and transform into every single show. So anyway, went off a little bit on that one because that was such an important topic, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and I want to say why I chose you as a coach, besides all of the things you just mentioned. I really, really appreciate the fact that you are more like, how do I put this? Some people are like tough love, right? Some coaches will get in your face, will yell, will kind of be a little harsh.
Yeah.
You're not like that. And I respond better to like a more level-headed, calm personality. You're a very calm person. You don't have like a temper, or you don't have like I can never see you causing a scene at a show or something. Because let me tell you something, I've seen it before. Sometimes coaches get a little too hot-headed.
Yeah.
And I just don't like that look. I don't want that unstable type personality. Yeah. And it's kind of embarrassing for the athlete, to be honest.
Super. Yeah.
And I think it is this because a lot of these coaches were bodybuilders themselves. So they have that like, that tough guy type
hardcore.
Yeah. And when they're training bikini girls, they kind of translate that over. And you're kind of like a pageant mom. Yeah.
It's totally the way it is. What's funny is Jeff Taylor, he's our chairman. He goes, he told me, he's like, I don't understand why you work so well with women, because all the guys who've made that transition have such a long transition, but you've done so well with it. I was like, well, I never really had a dad in my life, and I just grew up. My mom lived with me. My aunt lived with me. My sister always had her friends over. It was like, I never had any guys besides the guys at the gym. He's like, I think you were just groomed. Mm-hmm. Or I think you have to like understand women to do that. Right. Yeah. You know, cause it's a different beast. You know, you're talking a guy, you'll go out and you just tell him, hey, like, you're fat, go eat dirt. Cause you look crap. You tell that to like a woman who's, you know, 12 weeks in, dieted already, like going through the stress of it, and you're just going to lose a client real quick.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, it's just a different approach, you know, it's just a different approach. And I don't talk like that to guys anyway, but
right.
Like, yeah, it's just a different approach. And I think that especially the thing you talked about, like the coaches and like, cause there's been time, and there's always going to be time whenever you get, and this goes for all of you guys, whenever you start getting like more known, more recognized in anything at all, there's going to be people who talk smack on you. It's just the way it is. It's just, you just have to accept that. And I get that all the time. You know, people are going to say something about me or a prep or whatever. And, you know, especially with how I do my preps, because it's a lot different than how a lot of people do it. Cause I'm always talking about, oh, more calories and less cardio. And coaches hate that because 80% of them are starving their people. And they're like, oh, he's not doing that. Or their girls are, they're not doing that. He's just telling them to say that, or things like that. Like they always say it. And I would love to like be able to just like snap back at them. But then I think, and I calm down and I think, hey, like I can't, being the head of this, I represent you guys, and I can never embarrass Ashley or embarrass whoever is, you know, the team. Like that would be embarrassing for them to be like, if their coach was involved.
Yeah. It's like another stress they don't need.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's kind of like when you do have a coach, you're kind of, your name is attached to them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
If people hear my name, they think Team Elite Physique, and maybe vice versa. So it's kind of like, you never want that bad reputation. And you don't want that stress and embarrassment to be placed on somebody else, whether they had something to do with it or not, you know?
Yeah. And I've had the times where like, I thought there was a bad judging where I would love to be like, you know, like just say something loud to the judges, but you just, it's not going to help anything. It's just going to make everyone look bad. It's going to make your team look bad, make your athletes embarrassed. And so I was just like, but you see it happen at so many shows. It's like, gosh, dude, you're not solving anything. Like, it's not going to get you anywhere besides kicked out of the show.
Absolutely. And you know, another thing that I really appreciate about you is you're very realistic. And I'm that same way, because I find that sometimes coaches, I guess it's like the opposite end of tough love, is they're kind of going to tell their client what they want to hear. Like, oh, you look amazing. You're going to win this weekend. I know it. When in reality, maybe they're not ready, or they just don't have the shape for it, or whatever the case may be. They kind of like, what's the term? Blow smoke.
Blow smoke.
You see, but you know what I mean? Because it's like, they want to hear it. Oh, they want that confidence. And although that is a nice feeling to be told that, it's a big wake up call whenever they don't do as well as they think, you know. You're very realistic. You're like, it's going to be a tough show. And Ashley, in order to even make it in time for this prep, we're really going to have to, you know, train hard. And even then, you know, maybe this, we're just very realistic. Yeah. I think we're both on that same page, like depending on what show and what our expectations are for that show.
Yeah. What I've found out is that over the years, especially, because when I first started, I was more like that. I was more like, hey, you know what? We're going to do great. This and that. What I found out as the years went on is that if I don't keep it real in the beginning, they're going to find out the day of the show anyway. And it's way worse for them to go on stage and feel like the least in shape person there than it is for me to say, hey, you know what? You're not ready. Let's pull back and do a different show. They no one's ever, like, people, of course they get upset when that happens because you've been prepping for it. And it happens once in a while. It's not super common, but they are so much more appreciative than being on stage and then being the least in shape person at the show. Like, no one wants to be that person, you know? So since I've been able to do that personally, so we have people all over the world. It's kind of hard to track everyone, but it's easy to track Colorado because it's they're here. So we track Colorado, which is only 30% of our clients. The rest are all different states and whatnot. But in Colorado, we've had in three seasons in a row, we've had only two people not place in 3 years. So, and we have, we've had over 100 people on stage each year. So that's some pretty crazy numbers when it happens like that. And we had, so we've had a total of 5 perfect seasons total. So, which is crazy to say, you know, it's like, it's nuts to even think about, like, everyone, it means everyone placed at every show, and no one's ever done more than 45 minutes of cardio. No one's ever ate less than, so if someone's really, really small, like a 100-pound, 95-pound, 5-foot only bikini athlete, they might get down to like 1100 calories, but no one is eating below that. So yeah, so it's kind of cool. I like to, you know, have that, you know, as like a thing, like it's just so important to me to be like, hey, we're doing it, and we're doing it in a sustainable way. It's still aggressive because it's contest prep. It's still uncomfortable. You're still hungry, you know, but it's
not easy, because if it were easy, everyone would do it.
But it doesn't need to be like this hardcore, unrealistic approach that's like, and it's so weird, like guys, like some coaches, like, just
still bro science, and
they sit behind that like it's like a badge of honor, like, you could only, this isn't for, it's only for you if you're hardcore, it's only, I'm like, but why? Because all they're doing is being fit and losing body fat, so why does it need to be so hard? Like, and they can't answer you when you say that, like, what's the difference between someone being kind of fit at 16% 18% in a bikini show versus them being 14% 13% stage ready? Why does it now require them to be so hardcore to lose 4% body fat from where they already were? Like, why is it in your mind require so much to lose this last little percent? Because it really is just losing body fat at that point. You know, it's like, why does it take so much, you know, to lose 4%? Because if you think about 4%, so if you're a fit, regular girl, you're 20% body fat, that's pretty normal. And just so you know, these are real body fat percentages. That's another thing that you'll see amateur coaches do. They'll tell people, oh, we're going to get you down to 7% body fat. No female has ever stepped on stage at 7% body fat in the history of bodybuilding.
And, and just for reference, what was I like at my leanest? Like 14% or
14.
Something?
14. You might have broke 14 to like 13.8 or something like that.
Oh, and never. That was too lean.
They said you were too lean. Yeah. Mile High, they were like, oh, she's a little too lean. Bring her in like 2 pounds, 3 pounds heavier, she'll be fine. That was, so
2018 Mile High.
That was our first show together. And I tend to overshoot the first show. It just seems to be something that I, you know, you need a few shows with someone to see what the judges like from them best. But so realistically, Ashley's best at about 15% body fat. That's about realistic. So if your coach is telling you, oh, we're gonna get you 10%, you're not 10%. You're not even close to it. And just so you guys know, as like a rule of thumb, I've seen two females ever get under 10%. I've done this for 20 years and they got to 9 and some change. One was measured with a DEXA scan, which is, you know, arguably the most accurate way of doing it, but there's variances in that too. One was at a DEXA scan at the Arnold Classic in 2017, and one was at the Olympia in 2016, I think it was, and it was Heather Grace. That was the other one. Both were women's physique competitors. So that's, they're so lean that their glutes are striated. And then I'll see bikini girls with like barely have abs and like, I'm 9%. I'm like, do you know what that looks like? Like you look like a chart on a wall at 10%. You look like a chart on a wall. It's crazy. So that's another thing you got to look at too. Like, hey, if your coach is just throwing glamour numbers at you either they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're talking about. So that's a good sign that you might want to look for someone who's more of an expert. But yeah, so it shouldn't take that much to go from you being fit to you being, you know, regular at 20% to you being on stage at 14%. Think about it numbers wise, 6% body fat on someone who's let's say to make the math easy, 100 pounds. That's only 6 pounds, you know, they would need to lose. It's 1% is 1 pound at 100 pounds. So if you're 120, it's like 1.2 pounds. So times that by 6 is like 8 pounds. So it's not like this crazy amount of hardcore you need to lose 8 pounds. You know, it's not nuts. So anyway, so there you go with that.
Yeah. And anytime you have to question anything that your coach has you do, you know, it's okay to get second opinions, because I think a lot of times when newer competitors are just getting in the sport, they don't know anybody, they don't know what's considered unhealthy. So, you know, you can ask around, you can do your research yourself. I highly recommend you do research.
I have no problem with it. Yeah. I get a lot of coaches that are like, no, don't ask anyone, don't talk to anyone else, whatever. The only time I have a problem with it is if someone's talking to like a bro coach and like, oh, well, this person did this or whatever. And then it's like, then it becomes more work. But if someone's sending me like research stuff, which is how I get a lot of my research now too, it's really cool, because we have a good amount of clients, and then they might send it to one of the coaches, the elite coaches. Hey, did you see this new research that came out from wherever? And then I get to learn too. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, and I'm always open to, I think that's so important too, to be open to trying something new, you know, open to, like, you can't just be like, oh no, this worked. And because it works, that's the only way we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. I think that it's important as a coach to like be willing to just be like, hey, new research came out. We're going to try this. It looks like it's supported by facts and we're good to go. Let's just give it a shot. Let's see how it responds. Yeah. So anyway, so that's so I guess to summarize.
Yes.
Looking for a coach.
Yes. And I would say part of the whole thing is be a master of your craft. Okay. Research on your own, like how shows work, what you're getting into, what to like expect. You know what I mean? I remember when I first started getting into the sport, before I even started training for it, I researched the crap out of it. I would watch the YouTube videos like every day, like, this is how a show, okay. This is how the body works. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? So I was very knowledgeable on like what it is actually like to compete. I find that YouTube is an extremely helpful resource. For that. You just got to make sure that the videos that you're viewing are current, because bikini in 2009 is not bikini in 2020. You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
It's definitely evolved. So make sure you're current with the times, the posing. The poses are different than they used to be. The suits are different. The conditioning is different.
Seems to be like a two year changeover where everything changes in like posing in bikini, like 2 years to 3 years is like totally different. Mm-hmm. And so you see like a micro change from like show to show or like nationals to nationals or that type of thing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like if you're not watching it, all of a sudden a year later, everyone's posing completely different. And you're like, what just happened? You know, if you don't catch it, like you're not staying with the times, like it's just sneaks up on you. And next thing you know, you're doing old posing. So that's one of the things that's really cool I like about this work, because it keeps me refreshed and keeps me on it 100% of the time.
Absolutely.
So one thing, I'm going to go back for a second just to summarize the whole coach thing. When you are looking for one, there's a lot of good ones. I'm not just saying it's just, you know, just what I do or whatever too. There's a lot of good ones out there. But to summarize, ask what your lowest amount of calories is that you're going to be at. Ask what the most amount of cardio you're going to be at. Ask what supplements, you know, that they're going to have you. Are you going to be on regular supplements, or do they even though you're an amateur, they jump right into taking things like PEDs or whatnot, you know? You know, you're welcome to, you should be welcome to talk to, you know, people that they train that are on their social media or whatnot. You know, look at their resume in terms of how many athletes they prepared and what those athletes look like now, you know? Are they blowing up after the show, every show? Because they're, and then the coach always blames the athlete in that scenario. They're like, oh, well, she just couldn't control her eating. I'm like, well, could you control your eating if you didn't eat anything but tilapia and asparagus for 16 weeks at 800 calories and were so starved down that as soon as you got done and you were able to have a little bit of freedom, you just blew up, not even eating that many calories because you crashed her hormonally and you crashed her metabolism and she's not recovered yet. And so now that's why she's blowing up. So look at those things, because that's a coach problem and an athlete problem, of course, but it's mainly the style of the prep that caused that, you know? Because you shouldn't, when you get done with a show, you should want to have a cheat meal. You know, you should want something, of course. But you shouldn't like be so uncontrolled because you had nothing to eat for so long that you just gain all this weight back right away. Mm-hmm. And you see it happen over and over and over again. And that's where you see the Instagram posts of, oh, prep ruined my body or ruined my mindset or ruined my whatever. Well, yeah, if anyone who's starving for so long a period, whether you call it prep or just call it starving, they're going to have issues with stuff. You know, they're going to be hormonally changed. They're going to be wanting to eat way more as soon as they get a chance at eating food. You take someone who's starving in another country who hasn't eaten that much and you take them to America and give them $100 and throw them in a McDonald's, guess what? It's going to happen. You know, they're going to eat as much as they can. They're not going to have any signals to stop. You know, their body's going to be like, hey, don't stop yet. Don't stop yet. And that's a hormonal thing too. So look at that. That's a huge factor. I want everyone to do this and actually like not regret that they did it. And if you do it the right way, you shouldn't. You should just be a learning lesson. You should be leaner than you've ever been, but it should be somewhat sustainable. So anyway, take a look at that. Ask them questions. You know, there you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's go. First show, Ashley.
First show. Yeah, let's talk about the first show. And perhaps a good way to start that is like some rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
Rookie mistakes. I think when we are ready to compete, I just kind of like touching on what I said before, I think the biggest mistake is not doing your research. You can tell when you go to a show who is up to date on the current trends and posing, you know what I mean? Or has been practicing posing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can also tell who's comfortable moving their body. And some people aren't, because some people come from really good backgrounds that really are just ideal for posing. Like let's say dance
girls. Yeah.
Girls that dance, cheerleaders. They're very aware of where their body is, the placement.
Yeah.
Whereas some girls maybe didn't participate in sports or just a totally different sport to where they just look robotic or they just look a little wobbly or just unaware of how they're moving their body. It's not smooth. So I think it's really important to do your research and practice on that posing, you know, because it's, you can have the best body on stage, but if your posing isn't going to show it, then you're probably not going to win or do well. So it's very important to really pay attention to that.
I can't honestly, like the truth of that is I can't tell you how many spots we've stolen because of posing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen girls show up like in wherever they're at, and you might have one of our athletes who's just posed and they pose and pose and they pose with Anya and Kelly, and maybe they came here with you or whatever. And then they get on stage and they just look like a professional. You know, they just mm-hmm. doing everything like a pro would do. And then I'll see a girl backstage and I'm like, oh man, that's the winner. Like that's the kind of girl who's going to win the show. And I'll see it in every show. I see it all the time. I'm always like picking out the good ones, right? I'm like, oh, that girl's going to win her class. That girl's going to win her class. And then the next thing you know, she'll get on stage and, you know, she might be, you know, a little fuller or a little tighter than our girl, or just has that look, that bikini look that you just know she's going to go pro one day. And then we have a girl who's like, maybe her first show, like she's come through her first like transformation, she's got on stage, she looks good, but that girl still looks better, and she takes it and she wins. And I'm like, oh, all in the posing, man, all in the posing and presentation. Yeah. Her suit, her hair, her makeup, her posing was on point. And that's what it is, you know. It's a total thing. I tell especially the first time competitors, this is not a bodybuilding competition, it is a fitness beauty pageant. So everything, your hair, your makeup, your tan, all this stuff matters. The suit selection, colors, all that stuff matters. So And if you think you don't, you think you're going to win just on your body, and then try to rock like a mohawk hair or, you know, a different color, like bright red hair, then it's, you know, the odds are it's not going to work for you. I saw a girl actually last year at the, I think it was last year at the Arnold, and she had an amazing physique. I was like, that girl's going to turn pro if she dyed her hair a different color. Like if she just had different color hair, she would go pro. Cause it wasn't that it was red. It was that it wasn't natural color hair. It was like, I don't know, like a Hot Topic color hair, right? Like bright pink or something. I forget what color it was. And it was just not a natural hair color. I was like, this doesn't work for a fitness beauty pageant, right? And then the girl, and it was the day before the show, and she wasn't my athlete, but I was friends with her friend. And the girl was like, I'm gonna wear it like this. I shouldn't have to dye my hair to do this. I'm like, well, the sport is a beauty pageant. You don't like think of like the Miss America, you know, beauty pageants. Like they wouldn't come out with bright pink hair or their hair like half shaved up in a mohawk type of thing, right? Or whatever. So like it's just you have to play the sport just like any other sport. You gotta wear the uniform. You know, just like in football, they're all wearing the same uniform, same thing. It's the same rules apply. So
yeah, and you know what too? I want to say this as well. I don't ever want to come across as if we're telling people to change their unique look that makes them. I will give you a good tip. If you find that you have a unique hairstyle that isn't fitting for stage, a good thing you can try is a wig, a lace front wig. Okay.
Totally. Yeah.
That I wore a wig for one show last year, and I bet our viewers cannot even tell which one it was.
Yeah, I would have to go back and like really look.
Yeah.
You showed it to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
That just looks awesome. Yeah.
It's a nice alternative if you don't want to change your hairstyle, yeah. Or maybe if you have really short hair, you just gotta get a good one, a good lace front wig, and learn how to wear it. But that is a great alternative because some girls, you know, it's I don't ever want to tell people like, oh yeah, change your mohawk because it's something that makes them happy. And
yeah, just for the day is what I'm referencing. Yeah, you could be, and what's cool too is like you use the platform of your, you know, getting, maybe you get a pro card or whatever, use that platform for you being you, you know, be yourself on that. I think it's super important to be yourself on that because people are going to know when you're not being yourself. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time. If you're being fake, people are going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, so be yourself, be the mohawk. And then when you're doing your stage stuff, yeah, play the sport for what the sport is. You know, you got to do that. So it's just the reality of it. You know, I want people to know that. I'm always like, just say it how it is with that stuff, but it is the truth of it, you know? But yeah, the wig thing, I've seen so many even with just short hair. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I don't want to get extensions, so I'm just going to wear a wig. I'm like, yeah, do that.
It's hard to get extensions with short hair.
Yeah.
But I will say this though, with that being said, it does seem like they're being way more accepting of more diversified hairstyles. Because every once in a while, I'll see like, you know,
the first time I've ever seen it where it really became apparent to me they're being more accepting is the someone won a pro show with short hair. Did you see that?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, someone won a pro show with not even just short hair, but like I'll have to show you the picture. It was I forget who it was, but it was really short hair. Mm-hmm. Like not just like shoulder height, like no hair kind of hair. Like I don't know how you say it, like just really tight, mm-hmm. I guess you call it really tight hair. So I was like, whoa, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That opens the doors for a lot of people, you know, yeah. Type of thing. And then you started seeing a couple years back, people with tattoos winning shows, mm-hmm. You know? So Anya has a full sleeve. She won her pro card. Mm-hmm. So so pretty cool how it is getting more diverse. Hopefully that I would like it. So personally myself, you know, I came from a bodybuilding background. I would love for it to go more just, hey, it's just a bikini bodybuilding show. Mm-hmm. And even from the head up, it doesn't matter. It's just the body. That'd be cool. But and it looks like eventually it'll head that direction to some degree. But until then, it's a fitness beauty pageant, you know?
And some of it too is just that the tan is so dark, right? And whenever you have like a certain color hair, it just doesn't like look as good as it would in normal person skin tone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the tan on show day is quite dark, quite orange. Sometimes it just doesn't look correct. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely becoming more diversified, which is really cool.
Yeah. So then other mistakes that like people have made, I'll tell you this, one of the mistakes, I'll say the biggest mistake people make, this is the biggest mistake people make on show day, mm-hmm. is, or the day before show day, is they're sacrificing conditioning. So conditioning essentially is like how lean you are. So sacrificing your conditioning for fullness. Everyone always wants to be so full. You know, everyone's always like, I want to be full. I got to be full. I got to be full. And then like the last couple days before the show, they just eat a bunch of carbs. They're holding water. Their waistline's blown out. And I'm like, why did you looked awesome on Tuesday. Why did you eat so much on, you know, Thursday and Friday? Mm-hmm. You look totally different. Like why you shouldn't have to go through this dramatic change in your peak week where you're like, you know, taking these huge risks. And I think that, and I did that when I was younger too, when I was like competing as like a teenager, I would always do that. I used to mess up all the time with that. I would be like, oh, gotta be fuller, man. Just gotta fill out. And I would just sit there and eat the day before the show. Like literally I had this big bowl of sweet potatoes, like I'm doing it with my hands, but it's like bigger than a bowling ball worth of sweet potatoes. And I would just eat it all day long. Mm-hmm. And I'd put honey on it. And I'm like, I'm just gonna fill out. And then I don't know why it took me like more than one show to figure it out. I was so dumb as a teenager, you know, but I was like, it took me more than one show. Like I did it two or three times or like, I would try that. And I'm like, I'm just going to fill out. And then I would sacrifice my cuts for it. I would sacrifice all this. And I would like convince myself that I looked better. Mm-hmm. When I look back at my pictures, I was like, I was way better on Monday than I was on Saturday on show day.
It's honestly better off. You're better off just getting a really good pump if you feel flat.
Yeah.
You know, because like you said, that is a big risk to take, to ruin all your hard work just because you felt like you weren't full enough. And I mean, sometimes it works, yeah. But most of the time it doesn't. Like it's a slim chance it's going to work. So you got to weigh the risk versus reward. You know what I mean?
I say don't ever try to be 100% full. Try to be, you know, because the only time you can fill someone out 100% is if they're so lean going into peak week that you have, that it's okay if they spill over. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I'll take that risk and be like, okay, you're so lean and you're not big enough compared to the other competitors, like the other bikini athletes. So why not fill you out 100% and spill you over a little bit? Mm-hmm. Because you're so lean, it doesn't matter if you're spilled out, you know, spilled over. Mm-hmm. So that's the only time I'll actually do that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, everyone else is going to come in. And just understand you're going to be like 90% full, but you should have enough muscle where that 90% full is still enough muscle for the class, especially in bikini. We're not talking bodybuilding here, you know? So, and then you're keeping your conditioning good. The last day before the show, you're not cramming carbs down so you can predict how big your waistline will be the day before the show. Mm-hmm. And then the day of the show, you don't really need to worry that much. You know, you just kind of are walking around on that back there. You're not worried about like the carbs that you have to eat and the honey and the pumps and all these things. You should be already ready. And I think that's another mistake that people make too. So yeah. Like backstage.
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest mistakes, and I say mistakes because it's not just rookie mistakes. It happens to pros too, I see. Poor time management.
Yeah.
This drives me crazy. I do not know how people do this. Maybe it's just like a personality trait, but you know, those competitors that will be late to the stage or check in. Like, here's the thing, guys. The stage does not wait for you. If they say you're going on at 10, don't show up at 10:05. Don't show up at 10. You better be showing up like an hour before that. Okay? They're not going to call you if you're not there. Yeah. Okay? I'm sorry. Not even a pro. They're not going to say, oh, we got to hold up the whole show because Ashley's not here. I see, this is what I have nightmares about. When I do have nightmares before a competition, it's that I'm late.
Yeah.
Or that I forgot to put on my tan, or that I accidentally ate a whole cake. I don't know. But I have those nightmares when I'm like close to a competition. So just be very aware of that time management. You got to realize it's going to be a very busy day, the morning of the show. You got to do the tan, the hair, the makeup, all of that.
Yeah.
So make sure you're not just on time, but ahead of time. Like you're there before they tell you.
Yeah. You know what? Now that actually this reminds me, I'm going to throw this out to my athletes. Don't text me, call me, or DM me like the last 2 days before the show and ask me, what time do you think I'll be on? Okay, because I'm not going to answer that question because I'm not going to take the responsibility of saying, oh, the show starts at 8, you'll probably be on at 11. And then the athletes show up like at 10:30. I will never give you a time because you never know what's going to happen with the show. At 8 o'clock, it's, you know, the bikini is usually last, at least in our area. If bikinis usually last to go on all the time. But if for some reason, like men's physique was really short and they got done really fast and you get on at like 9:30, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to say, hey, I told you 10:30 when it started, my bikini started at 9:30. So I'm going to say, get there when the show starts. I don't care if you're waiting backstage. What's the worst case scenario? You're either waiting backstage or you're waiting in your room. And I don't want to be chasing you down, calling you because bikini's getting lined up, you know? So don't ask me, just show up. It's one day, just show up for the show, enjoy it, you know? Watch from the audience, you know, do get your stuff done early, watch from the audience and enjoy the day. But yeah, because I get literally every year, 50% of the people ask me, what time do you think I'll go on? Because they're planning on getting there around that time. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Like this is, we don't, until you're a pro, you don't know what time you're going to get on. As an amateur, you're supposed to be there. Like generally they'll say the show starts at 9 and they'll want you there at 9. And you know, you might have to wait for 3 hours, but so what? Enjoy the show, you know?
Have better, fun with it. Better to be safe than sorry, because I've seen it happen. I don't know how many experiences you had where they missed their class.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what happens when you miss your class? That means your entire prep basically went to waste.
DQ.
How horrible of a feeling that must be. It's never happened to me, thank God, but like, how horrible. It's just like, oh my God. Especially if it was somebody that like maybe got first call out in the center and then for finals, they were late and goodness. It happens, guys. It really happens. The stage does not wait.
One guy, he's from Colorado. He lost his pro card because of it.
Oh.
He was dead center North Americans. No chance he wasn't getting a pro card. Clearly looked the best. And they were giving, back then, I don't know if I think they still are, giving top two. Yeah, they still are. Top two in men's physique to North Americans. So top two.
Mm-hmm.
He was dead center and there was only five in the class. He was clearly winning that class. Didn't show up to the night show. Didn't show up to the night show. Didn't mean to not show up to the night show. He just timed it wrong, got stuck in traffic. But he timed it wrong too, though. If you know you're getting your pro card, you get there. I'll be there morning of.
Camp there.
Exactly. You know, that's crazy, right? Yeah. He's like, yeah, I can't believe it happened. He's like, I was just hanging out with my friends in the room. And I was like, oh, we better get going. And then the next day I got stuck in traffic, missed this class.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy, right?
You know, not only is it, you might lose a pro card or you're placing or whatever, it's also, it does not look professional.
Yeah.
You know, look at any professional athlete. Do you ever think like, it's like, where's LeBron James? Oh, it's after. He's late though. I mean, like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Can they show up early to get ready? Yeah, they're like, you know, the whole thing. It's the whole thing.
You guys, it's not a good look, okay? So be early, not even on time, be early.
Yes, and that's a your responsibility thing. It's not your coaches to be calling you, hey, where you at? You're on in 20 minutes. Like, that's a stress that the coaches don't want either. They don't appreciate that, just to let you know, because I go through that every year, you know, where I'm rushing someone. Hey, where's Sam? Where's whoever, right? Sam, just, you know, it's not to you. Just a name I came up with. But like, I'm like, hey, where's whoever? And they're like, she's not answering her phone. She's not answering her DMs, whatever. Like, you know where she's at? Oh, I don't know. And then everyone's searching for her, right? Because she's not backstage. And so everyone's stressing now to try to get you on stage, and that's not their responsibility. So that happens every year. So just be there. Now, one of the things I want to go into too is the day of the show, like backstage. And I think this is such a critical thing to talk about, and it's going to relieve a lot of people's stress to talk about this. So if you're a new competitor, a lot of the times it's like, what do we do the day of the show? What do we do the day of the show? Okay. So I want to go into a little bit of like how long food takes to digest and what you can actually expect the day of the show. Okay. So when people are backstage, their first show, and actually, honestly, even people who've done a lot of shows think that there's so much that can change before they get on stage. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know where this started or where it came from, but people lose it backstage and they'll be like, oh, I should have had 2 tablespoons of honey instead of 1 tablespoon of honey.
If I would have had 2 tablespoons, I would have won.
Yeah.
But since I only had 1 tablespoon, I got second color.
You know, yeah, exactly. If you're not ready the day of the show, then you're not ready, period. There's nothing you can do the morning of the show that's going to make you look so significantly better that you're going to all of a sudden win the class or look dramatically different. You look how you look on Saturday morning of the show, and you can either mess that up. You might be able to enhance it a tiny bit, but you're not talking 15% different. You're not talking all of a sudden you're tight and all of a sudden you're more full. Food takes longer than you being backstage for a couple hours for it to get into your muscle cells. So you have to eat it, digest it, go through that process, which takes hours. Then it goes into the bloodstream. Then it goes into the muscle after a period of time, if your body doesn't use it as energy first, right? So it's like, it takes such a long period of time. It's just common sense. Yeah, when you eat honey and rice cake, it's more of like, hey, it makes you feel good a few minutes before. You're talking, people are doing it like 15 minutes before they start pumping. They're like, it's gonna be a huge game changer for me. Like, I feel pumped now. And I'm like, it's in your esophagus, bro. Like, it's not anywhere near. That's a joke for all those science guys. It doesn't stay in the esophagus. Like, but it's not, if the point is, it's not as it got into your system yet. So I want to relieve this stress for you. There's not much you can do. You know, you do want to eat a little bit, of course, but there's not much you can do, because the digestion period just takes longer than you need it to for it to actually get in the muscle cells and make a big difference. So just enjoy being backstage, you know, enjoy the day. You look how you look at that point. You can make the changes on Friday. You can make the changes on Thursday. The whole week you should be, you know, filling out a little bit, but not going crazy and taking risks. That last week, more often than not, especially amateurs, take unnecessary risk and mess up all their hard work and look worse on Saturday because they cut their sodium, took diuretics, loaded too hard the morning of the show, ate a hamburger and fries right before they went on stage or before they went on stage at the night show, like it makes sense. You know, all was eating super, super clean, no gluten for 16 weeks. But then the day before the show, all of a sudden their coach said, hey, eat a bunch of gluten and fries, and that's going to fill you out, as if the food selection makes a difference on how you're filling out. The only thing it does is it causes inflammation and changes things. So
right, it's going to make you fill your stomach and your waistline.
Yes.
But I mean, as competitors, we're trying to make that waistline as small as possible. So I never understood why people have like full-on steak dinners before they go on stage, especially bikini athletes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just thinking like, man, I'd be bloated.
Yeah.
Like, so bloated with what they ate. I try to eat minimally, just enough to have energy. You know what I mean? Because I want to keep that waistline super small.
Yeah. And you should be filled out to the point where you can do that on Friday. You know, so with Ashley, for example, you know, if she needs to fill out, that's happening. I know Ashley. So we're going to do that on Wednesday. If we're going to fill it out at all, we're going to do it on Wednesday, a little bit on Thursday, and we better have it fixed by then, because Friday, we want to keep her waistline small. So she's going to kind of minimally eat like volume of food. And if it's going to be very small volume food to keep her waistline small, we're definitely not giving her hamburger and fries and a big steak. Just think about that, like, intuitively, you know, just think about that. Like,
it's taking a long time to digest.
Yeah.
Steak especially.
They tell you, hey, red meat takes, you know, a long time to digest. So they have this big chunk of meat. You have a hamburger bun or whatever, you know, sitting in your stomach. These are foods that you haven't eaten for X amount of weeks. And now all of a sudden that's the right move. It doesn't make any sense. So just use some common sense, you know, with that stuff, but also just understand that the day of the show, not much is going to change. I see people that wake up like, oh, I had a bunch of pancakes this morning at like 8. I'm like, what time are you on stage? Especially like men's physique guys. What time are you on stage? They're like, oh, like 9:30. I'm like, so you just made your stomach bloated is all you did. Like, you just made your waistline bigger. Cause that's, just so you know, that's still in your stomach. It's been an hour. Like, it's, and you ate, you know, 10 McDonald's pancakes and a bunch of syrup. That's in your stomach. It's not doing anything for you in your muscles yet. Like, if anything, it might be making you a little bit more vascular, because it might be leaving at that point. But you don't get judged on vascularity. So it doesn't matter. So you gained an inch on your stomach, which takes away from your lines, and it didn't fill you out at all. So now you have a little bit more veins and then you have an inch bigger stomach. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, you know. And now for the night show, you've eaten a bunch of gluten, which you haven't eaten for 16 weeks, and now you're more bloated than you've ever been. And it, you know, so it just doesn't make sense. So the point of that is just enjoy the day backstage. Don't stress about getting one extra tablespoon of honey. If you're not ready on Saturday, then you're not ready, period. Nothing's going to change that, you know. So
absolutely. And along those same lines, a lot of people are shocked to hear that I do not cut water.
Yeah.
I do not. The only exception to that is the day of the show. Obviously, I'm not drinking a gallon of water because I don't want to be bloated and I don't want to have to pee right before I go on stage. That's the only exception. But even on show day, I'm still drinking water. But you know what I mean? I'm not going to have like a whole gallon so that I look like I'm pregnant or something on stage. But the night before, the day before, I'm still drinking water as normal.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, a lot of people are under the impression that they have to cut water like the week of the show and like limit their to like one water bottle a day or something. And I'm just like, how do you do that? Oh, it's my God, crazy. I'm thirsty for you. Yeah. Holy moly.
It's crazy. And there's like, and if you want to research this even farther, there's this thing called like interstitial fluids, which is basically like fluid between cells. That's the only cells that are basically, that's the only water that would cause any like blur in definition. The rest of the water is basically like you have like intracellular water, which is basically water inside cells. So inside your muscle cells, inside, you know, all the cells in your body, they all have, you know, all have water. So inside the cells of your body, those aren't between the muscle and the skin. Only the water that's in between the skin is like the interstitial fluids. And those are the ones that would cause a little bit of blur, but it's such a minute amount of fluid that would blur you versus the fluid that's in your muscle and the fluid that's in your blood. And it just doesn't make sense to like sacrifice all this muscle size and health for the small amount of difference it possibly could make. Cause like, if I could make you, let's say, look 1% leaner, but I would make you look 10% smaller, why would that be worth it? How about you just get leaner?
Yeah.
How about
The biggest contradiction is the people that cut water and are also worried about not being full enough. And then they'll have that burger and fries and everything like that. It's like they're contradicting each other.
Totally. Yeah.
Like what?
I want to be fuller, so I'm going to have a hamburger and fries, but most of my fullness is based on hydration.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to drink water and take diuretics for the last 5 days before the show. Like, what? Where did you read this? Like, do you even think about what you're doing at this point? Like, because you're ruining what you looked like a week ago.
Yeah.
Completely different looking.
It doesn't have, in summary, it doesn't have to be that hard. Yeah. Peak week does not have to be that miserable. Yeah. The hay should be in the barn, as I say.
Absolutely.
And it, you know what I mean? You should have that feeling of just coasting. Yeah. Into peak week.
Peak week should be tweak week. You know, you just make very small tweaks to your plan. That's it. You know, you fill out a little bit. You might check in. You'll check in, you know, 3 times that week, 4 times that week, whatever. And we're like, okay, today, like literally a lot of my peak weeks, when I get someone in shape, what I'm doing is I'm reducing their cardio. That last week will reduce it a little bit to kind of bring down their any stress they have. I want them to look healthy and vibrant on stage. They should be leaning up at that point where we could reduce their cardio. We're increasing carbs day by day. You know, I'm just like, hey, have a little bit more today. Have, you know, today you'll have 200. Okay. Oh, you're not quite filled out where I want you to be yet. Yeah, have 300 a day. And it's just with the anticipation of them being ready by Friday so that we don't have that many on Friday and they have a small waistline and we're not taking any risk. And like, hey, on Friday at noon, I'm like, hey, guess what? This is what you look like. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to look like tomorrow. Nothing's changing. And then they're like, what? I'm like, yeah. That's it. We're not going to take any risks. You look how you look. And the next thing you know, they're like, okay. And then they win the show. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's only been a couple shows this year. I think it's been, you know, 3 shows this year. And in those 3 shows, we've gotten 2 overalls and 2 pro cards. So it's working, mm-hmm. You know, and none of those girls cut water. None of those girls or guys cut water. That was the guys too. The guy won Mr. Denver who did the show here. Didn't cut water, didn't cut sodium, didn't do a crazy load. You know, they just showed up. They just showed up and did minor tweaks. And that's, you know, there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. And then, you know, get a healthier look altogether and your body is happier. Less stress is the better.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times another big mistake as a rookie competitor is the over expectations they place on themselves. Like it's a great thing to be super ambitious. But realize if this is your first show or your first few shows, don't expect to be perfect. There are things that you're going to learn about yourself, your body, your posing, your hair, your makeup, your suit. All these little things definitely add up. So although we're going to try to research and nail it as hard as possible and get it on point, it's not always going to be smooth sailing the first few shows.
For
and
sure.
I think a lot of competitors have a little bit too, I don't know how to word this without being like sounding mean. They expect to win.
Yeah.
And you know, you shouldn't expect to win. You should have that mindset. Like I'm going to try to win. If I win, that is incredible. But you know what? At least I know I gave it my all and there's nothing that I could have done any better. You know what I mean? The effort is what's most important, but it's, you never know who's going to show up and how it's going to be judged. Because let me tell you, even as a pro that's been competing quite a few years, I'm still learning things that I can improve on. and I'm not perfect. And I'm adjusting little things every show. And maybe to the untrained eye, it might not be noticeable, but for someone that's, you know, knows their stuff and is a judge can really appreciate those little small changes over time to make myself even better.
Yeah. So I think with that, when you're talking about, you know, even you making change, I think the main thing is that you need to learn how to study what you did on stage, you know, yeah. especially like after your first one. In your first show, honestly, like you have to think that you are, even if it's your first show and you've been fit for a long time, you're still like transforming from a fit person into your bikini body, you know, so you're a transformation person. You shouldn't have these, like, put that immense pressure on you that you got to win. You know, if you can walk off the stage, like Ashley said, and say, hey, I did everything possible and I didn't cheat on my diet, I didn't miss days in the gym, you did that and you get third place, fifth place, eighth place, whatever. That means to like a coach, that means a lot more to me than it does to someone who like half-assed it and just had great genetics and won the show. You know, because if anything, that teaches that person a lesson and they learn that lesson and they carry it with them the rest of their career. Oh, I can kind of work. I can, mm-hmm. you know, I can kind of do this. I'll give it my 90% effort, you know, and then one day when you get to when they get to the upper levels, they just fall off, you know, because they're still giving 90% effort yes. against girls who are just as genetically blessed, mm-hmm. who are giving 100% effort.
Absolutely.
You know? So
I think when you have too high of expectations, you're setting yourself up for a potential disappointment, you know,
yeah.
whereas if you kind of set more realistic goals, and I guess just appreciate the fact that you went through this journey, you'll have a better outlook on your outcome. And I also wanted to say this too, because this will happen to everyone. If you haven't competed yet, it's going to happen to you. It happens to me still. It happens to everyone. When you don't win, okay, your friends and your family are going to say, you should have won. This is a ripoff. You should have won.
Yeah.
I guarantee that's going to happen. Totally. Okay. And here's the difference. You got to recognize that it's coming from like a biased opinion, maybe an uneducated opinion in our sport. They don't really know what they're looking for. That's not a really credible piece of feedback.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think a lot of times the amateur competitors will hear this from their friends and family and they'll keep saying it over and over and over and they get in their head like, I should have won. Yeah, I should have won. And they get kind of like a salty attitude about it. And that makes them not want to compete again because they think they got ripped off. But in reality, you should be asking credible sources such as judges, as coaches, people that are super familiar with the sport and ask how you can improve.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, taking your show, looking at your pictures, you could ask your coach, you can ask the judges, you can send it into, I do like physique assessments, you can send me in your pictures, and be like, hey, you can work on this, you can work on this, you know, get with your coach and figure these things out, whatever. So just do your show and then look at, okay, what's next? How do I make an improvement on the next package? But as Ashley said, your fan club is always gonna hype you up and be like, oh, you should have won. Or your coach could be like, oh, it was all politics because he was training with whoever. That's another thing, like, it's just so you guys know, and it's funny because like it's always like the newer coaches that say that. So the older coaches that have been doing this, like I've done this 20 years. Yes, I know pretty much every single judge that there is. I'm friends with a lot of them too. Will they ever do any favor for me whatsoever when I have an athlete on stage? No, I wish they would. I would love it if they did, but they don't. And not even do they not, but they don't even know who my athletes are. That's the thing. And I think people really need to understand, like, oh, it's politics. And people will say that. It's always rookies who say that or rookie coaches. It does not matter who your coach is. And like perfect example of that is Ashley when she won her first Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much by herself.
Oh, yes. You know? Didn't have any sponsors. I was not part of a big team. I was part of a team that had like five girls. None of them were even national level. But I came from nowhere. Ohio, of all places. So like I was literally an unknown person that won. And even going back to the amateur level, think about it logically, guys. Let's say you're at a national show with hundreds and hundreds of girls. Do you really think that these judges have the time to research everyone? Or I even hear this too, like, oh, she won because she has such a high following. Do you really think that every coach is researching everyone's social media, who they're being coached by, all of that? Do you really think that's the case, guys? Do you really think?
Yeah.
Come on, they have lives too.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah, and the correlation of someone who's winning their pro card, of course they have a high following. They look amazing. You know?
Well, they could. Yeah. Some don't, some, but you know.
You know what I mean, though? But if you're like, if you're in the sport and you look amazing, yeah, your odds are you're going to have a higher following than someone who doesn't, who's just getting started in fitness and isn't at that pro looking mm-hmm. level. So that's, of course that happened, but it's so funny and ridiculous that that's even like a discussion. You know?
I don't even think the main judge of the pros, Sandy, she's not even on social media.
Yeah, she's not even on Instagram.
She doesn't even have any social media as far as I know.
She's smart. Cause all that she would do is get DMs all day. What do I need to work on? What do I need to work on?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can email her. Yeah, it gets a little crazy, guys. I feel like it's definitely a scapegoat of why they didn't do well, or you'll hear a lot of different theories why someone didn't do well or somebody did better than the other person.
Yeah.
Don't let it get to your head, because that's really going to affect your attitude towards the sport.
Yeah, especially, and I want to give you guys a couple examples of that too. So just so you guys know, like, because people are like, oh yeah, sure, Ashley and Adam, like, your boys are always winning, so of course you can say that, right? I think it was last year, it was 2 years ago. At the time, my girlfriend Hannah competed, and all the judges know me for years out here in Colorado. She came down, she competed. I introduced her to all the judges before the show, like at check-ins and stuff. And like, oh yeah, we've seen your pictures, whatever. She looked awesome. Honestly, she had a great physique. One of my favorite physiques. And she got like fourth place, you know, and I do more for the community out here than any coach does. I've been here longer than just me and like two other guys. I've been here like the longest. And like, if anyone's going to get a push at a certain point, it would have been like my girlfriend or their girlfriend. Right. But nope, nothing, you know? And then if you go to like, even when Anya was competing here in Colorado, she was actually, I still think wasn't getting judged even as how she should have gotten judged. She'd win her class, but still didn't win an overall. Three shows, she didn't win an overall out here. Won her class in all three. Never won the overall, but then her first time at Nationals wins her pro card. You know, so mm-hmm. It's like, even, you know, if anyone was going to get the bump, it would have been like a girlfriend of mine or me myself when I was competing. But I got judged fairly every single time. Mm-hmm. You know, I won a couple of shows and the rest of them was like thirds and fourths. And I was deserving of thirds and fourths. So it was like, mm-hmm. There you go. So there you go, guys. Just a little bit of, just to throw that out there, just like as a little bit of like proof, because these things are so talked about.
And right.
So,
you hear it thrown around so much. Yeah. And as an amateur, you're probably like, oh, I'm scared to even do this because, you know, it doesn't seem like it's a fair thing. Don't let people's little voices get to you.
Yeah.
There's always a reason behind everything that makes more sense than what you think it is. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think I said the word sense a little too often in that, but you get the idea.
So, yeah, so this journey should be fun. There's a lot that goes into it, a ton to learn. I don't know, is there anything else you want to cover on this one?
Yeah, so, you know, I want to give a final piece of advice for anybody out there that's looking to compete, or maybe you've already competed, but you just need this reminder. Enjoy the journey, okay? Yeah. Be so appreciative. No matter what happens, placement-wise, be so appreciative. Make friends. Take pictures backstage. Be proud of yourself that you have the guts to even get on stage. Do you know how many people would love to look like you do, to have that confidence to get on stage? You know, and like we've talked about before, to even be able to prep is a privilege.
Yeah.
A lot of people complain. It's a privilege. A lot of people can't afford it. A lot of people don't have access to things we do. You know, in some countries, prepping would be the least of their worries,
yeah. You
know? But if you're listening to this podcast, that means you are able to afford a smartphone or internet or whatever the case may be, or you're interested in the sport, which that in itself is freaking awesome. So just enjoy the journey. And no matter what, if you did try your hardest, and it sounds so corny and cliche, as long as you tried your best,
yeah,
you shouldn't be mad at yourself for anything.
Yeah. And then there's always improving on that. You know, it's mm-hmm. From show to show, you should be making just small improvements every show, not going backwards and starting again and then going backwards and starting it. As long as you're making improvements from show to show, that's what's going to get you that pro card.
Yes. It's not an easy journey for, like, for me, you know, it's not like I just started winning pro shows all of a sudden, you know, and everything was so easy. Believe me, I've taken my losses. I've learned a lot. I've had shows where I'm like, I cannot believe that I didn't do my tan or my suit, or like I wasn't in shape enough. I've had those times too, where I look back on it and I think, okay, that was a learning lesson, but we're going to learn and grow from it.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys, just realize that it's not easy sailing.
Yeah. And just another thing I think is important to talk about too, is like, even if you get last place, like at a show, it's like your first one, you get blown out of the water. That's happened to me. You know, when I thought I looked pretty good, that's happened to me. I've gotten worked. And, but you still have to remember, like even just being on stage, that means you're in that 1% of the fittest people in the world. Still, even if you're last at a local show, you're still one in the 1%, and everyone else would be like, damn, how'd you do that? You know, and then you're like, well, in my world, I'm not even that great. But in the real world, you're like super fit. So just, you know, remember where you're at with that. And remember that you're healthier than most people. Absolutely. And, you know, you're taking care of yourself. You're probably going to live a longer, more fruitful, more fulfilling life because you're able to do more things for longer periods. And, you know, that's what this really comes down to. So,
yeah. And I also wanted to put in there too, when you mentioned placements, if you guys don't know already, 16th place is when they do the cutoffs. So 16th place would be, I guess, considered last place. You would be very surprised, some top level pros that have dealt with that 16th place position in amateur shows and in pro shows. And then they found their groove, they made improvements, and now they're at the Olympia doing their thing. Okay. Oh, yeah. So just keep that in mind. Don't be discouraged. Just learn from your mistakes.
Yeah. So I guess with that, guys, and Ashley is finishing off motivational speech, which I love her finishes. Your finishes really? Are always great. Yeah. They've been getting better too. Yeah. I have to step up my finishes. We will leave you there. So let us know too, if you have any questions that we didn't cover in terms of like your first show experience, like maybe we missed something. Maybe you want us to cover something. We could always do like shorts on our Instagram. So make sure you're following on our Instagram, Ashley K Fit, and I'm at Team Elite Physique. And then we can always answer those like questions that maybe we skipped on or didn't think about for your first time thing. Because we always want to be super like involved and receptive to you guys listening. So we appreciate you listening so much. Thank you. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.